We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Hello, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMIE out of Cocoa, Florida. I'm the pastor of Merit Assembly of God, and we're just this week is our next to, how do I want to say this? Not this week, but next week marks two years of the Refresh Radio broadcast. So I guess this is the week before our anniversary. And so we are thankful that you are tuning in. Thanks for putting up with us for 2 years. And we are so excited about all of the new friends that we've got to meet and new relationships that we've got to build. God is so good. I want to tell you today about Wyrick Air Heat and Electrical. And they have been out. They've done some work on our building as recently as this week and got us back up and running. All of that is good. It's good to have experts. And so I called them out and I said, you know what? I've got a problem with this fixture and that fixture. And then I've got the problems with these other three. These other three, they might be lights, but I think I got problems with the fixtures on those other two. Well, the two I thought were fixture-related problems were actually just lighting problems. And the three that I thought just might be bulb-related issues, they ended up having fixture-related issues. And so it's good to know an expert. And if you need any help with your electrical or your air conditioning throughout the county, do call Wyrick Air Heat and Electric at 632-9538, 632-9538. Carlin, Dennis, and have been in the area for a long, long time. They're a blessing to the body of Christ, and we just want to mention them to you because they can help take care of whatever needs that you might have. So let's try and get into the word today. I do want to remind you about our vintage service. It comes up today at 11 a.m., and we have a missionary that is going to be with us today. We don't normally have missionaries at our 11 a.m. service because there's, attendance is really not all that phenomenal at that service. But this was a missionary that we weren't going to be able to fit into the calendar any other time. And so they agreed to come in. And so we're looking forward to that. So that'll be at 11 a.m. Tonight at 6, we have our children's ministry night, our family night at Merit Assembly of God. We have a ladies' Bible study that goes on. We have girls' ministry. We have boys' ministry. And let me tell you, it's becoming more and more exciting. More and more people are coming. And we have food, free food for the kids. We start serving that at 6 o'clock. And the classes start at 6:30. They get done at 7:45. And we just encourage you to come and be a part of that. So let's get back into the Word of God a little quicker today than we did yesterday. We're talking about the things that sin does in our lives. And so the first thing is there are some people who have no concept of sin. We're dealing with more and more people whose moral compass is off. It needs to be not just recalibrated, it needs to be overhauled. The Bible warned us that there were days that were coming when people would call evil good and good evil. We are in those days, and there's those day and times that whenever you take a stand for the truth of God's word, you are called a hate monger. You are called a just every name in the book. And I want you to know that that's not a new phenomenon for me. I've been called names all my life. And you know what? I've got a name I'm particularly fond of, and that is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a child of God. And as long as the King of Kings has pronounced that name over me, if he's told me that I'm a child of his, that's the name that I'm going to embrace. That's the one that I'm going to answer to. And everybody else that calls me every other name, well, you know, I just want you to know that you do have the right to be wrong. And so that's my take on that. So sin is good because it helps us to know when we are out of alignment and when we are in correct alignment. So many Christians live as if they are not children of God, and so many sinners are living as if they are. We live in a confused society, and so we want to help to clarify that. So yesterday on the broadcast, we talked about some of the things that sin does, that sin takes every opportunity that you will give it, and every opportunity that you give it will lead to the second thing, and that is it will begin to produce in you all manner of evil desires. It's not just going to affect one area of your life, but when it has control in that area, it's going to be asking for another area and another area and another area. It's never going to say, okay, I've got enough, I'm content. Sin is greedy. It wants everything about you. And then the third thing that we talked about was down in verse number 11, and that is it deceived. It deceives. The devil's never, ever going to tell you the truth. Never going to tell you the truth. And the truth of the matter is God operates in such a way that, well, let me put it to you this way. I tell people that that God and the devil operate in two distinctive manners. The devil will never give you full disclosure. He will give you the soft sell, and then after you have bought in, that's when you find out about the fine print. That's when you find about the price tag and the strings that are attached and all of that. He doesn't give you full disclosure. He gives you just enough to get you enticed to where you buy in, and then he hits you with a full price tag. God is exactly the opposite. God says this: this is what I have to say. This is what I want, and this is what I'm going to do, and there's nothing that anybody can do to prevent me. I want you to know that God's plans will not be thwarted. His word is established forever in heaven and on earth. So I want to embrace the person who's being honest with me, not the person who is deceiving me. So let's look a little bit at verse number four. Well, not verse number four, but verse number nine, it says, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. See, what happens is sin takes the opportunity. It produces in us evil desires. It deceives. And then all of a sudden it comes to life. All of a sudden those seeds begin to take on a life of their own. It begins to grow. It begins to consume. There was a VeggieTales video. Now, I'll be honest with you. I was a youth pastor in Chicago a long time ago, and if I had ever tried to produce VeggieTales videos when I was a youth pastor, I would have been laughed out of the ministry. And so I didn't get to go to youth conventions for a few years, and then I became a youth pastor again. We started taking kids to youth convention, and they were doing VeggieTales, which were produced in Chicago, and where is my hairbrush and all of that sort of stuff. And I looked around and I said, what is going on? You know, because, you know, they were up there, and it was not something that I recognized, but it had taken on a life of its own. And one of those VeggieTales things talked about a lie, and the lie, once it was told, it began to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it became something so large, it was so alive, so dominant, that there was no way of escaping and getting out of it. You see, the sin that you and I deal with on a regular basis, it needs to die, not live. And it says here that that the in verse number 9, it says sin revived. When sin, it goes on, it says sin revived and I died. You see, there's only one life. Which is it going to be? Do you want sin to live or do you want to live? Do you want sin to live or do you, when sin revives, you die. When sin controls, you're in trouble. You're headed for death. And today that is true, whether it is a food addiction, whether it is a substance addiction, whether it's a pornography addiction, whether it's an unfaithfulness addiction, whether it's a workaholic tendency, whatever it might be, if sin is revived, it's going to bring death. I heard Dave Ramsey talking about one time about somebody who had a statement about a helicopter that came to a car accident scene. And this person had said this, when the bird flies, the budget dies. And today I want you to know that the devil is very intent on killing you. See, sometimes I scratch my head and I begin to think of everything that the world says, and it seems so upside down to me that the devil has done such a masterful sales job that he has convinced people that he wants people to live and that God wants them to die. And the reality is God wants you to live. He says, I set before you today life and death, therefore choose life. It's our choice. Which are you going to do? On this Wednesday, are you going to choose to live or are you going to choose to die? Which choice will you make? I want to choose life. I want to choose holiness. Holiness is not something that is just a throwback to the 50s or the 60s. It's not just a list of rules and regulations. Holiness is a lifestyle. It's going to allow me to please God. It's going to allow me to see God. Holiness is for my benefit. It produces the highest quality of life. It produces a life without remorse. That's what we want. So sin revives. That's the fourth thing. And as a result of it, we die. It says in verse number 11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and by it killed me. Paul said it was when I believed the lie that sin was telling me, I thought it was harmless and yet it killed me. You see, one of the lies that sin tells you is that it won't happen to you. You won't get caught. Everybody else has gotten caught all throughout history, but you're not going to get caught. There are some people who've been arrested for doing things, and they thought, oh, I didn't think they would ever catch me. I think there was a movie called Catch Me If You Can, and this guy got away over and over and over again, but eventually he got caught. I want you to know there are a lot of people, they didn't think they would ever get pregnant. They didn't think that they would ever get that sexually transmitted disease for their out of marriage sexual activities. But I want you to know sin is a liar. It's going to deceive you. It is going to kill your dreams. It will kill your plans. Sin does not have any intent on making your life better. Sin intends on making your life harder and more challenging. Let me just pause just a moment to tell you this. If you feel trapped in your sin, do not give up hope. Do not give up hope, because this message is not going to end up in condemnation. It is going to end up in liberation. It is going to end up in freedom today. I'm here today to refresh you, to revive you, and so that sin dies. God wants sin killed. He wants that sin nature in you devastated. He wants it to, evicted from your life. Let's show sin the door. So what about the fifth thing? The fifth thing that it says here is down in, let's start in verse number 13. It says, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me, so that in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And so it's not only wanting access to your life, but it wants to become exceedingly sinful. To become exceedingly sinful. It wants to make sure that it can appear sin. You know, there are people who wear masks to hide their reality. They hide their reality. Whenever I think about this, I think about Jacob and Leah and Rachel. Jacob thought he was marrying Rachel, but Laban didn't think he was ever going to be able to find anybody who was wanting to marry Leah. And so he defrauded Jacob and he ended up marrying her. And it wasn't until the next morning when the lights, when the sunlight was shining, that he looked at her and he said, "Who are you?" And it was, "I'm Leah. I'm the one you married last night. By the way, I just want you to know, God knows the reality of who you are. He knows the reality behind the mask." And what happens is sin wants to continue to incrementally gain control of your life and become and cause you to become so enamored with it that it can be real. You know, my wife is the person that I can be the most authentic and the most genuine with because we have walked together in our covenant relationship for 30 years. She knows if I'm happy. She knows if I'm not happy. She knows if I'm not feeling well. She knows if I am feeling well. There's no masks. You know, Joyce Meyer tells a story of when they were going to church and her kids were all little and they would be driving there and they'd be fussing and fighting all of the way and they'd pull into the parking lot and before they'd get out of the car, they'd put their smiles on and everybody just thought that everything was all hunky-dory and then they'd get in the car to go home and then they'd, you know, start in all over again. Sin wants to eventually take control of our lives to the point where it says, "You know what? I feel so secure in the strongholds that I have created in this person's life that I don't care what the appearance is anymore." There was descriptions that there are activities that ought to make people blush, but because they are so entangled in sin that they actually go around and they boast about their sin instead of repent of it. So sin wants to become exceedingly sinful. So let's go on to verse number 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate to do." Verse 16, If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin dwells within me. Sin will compel you to do things that you don't want to do. Sin will take over and all of a sudden you don't want to be doing it anymore, but because now it's not you with the reins, it's sin with the reins, and the next thing you know, you are doing the very thing that you don't want to do. There are a lot of people who've done sins and they said, I don't know what came over me. I don't know how I ended up in this place. I never wanted to do this." Sin, when it becomes exceedingly sinful, it will cause you to do things that you don't want to do. So I want you to know that every person listening here has been in that situation at some point in time. And the good news is there's hope, there's victory, there is a way out. And so, you know, we had a kids evangelist that came and they've done kids conferences at our church for a number of years. And he would take his finger. That they had a puppet called Elmer T. Goofenhoffen, and he would begin to flip his ears, and his wife would, or Miss Kathy would say, "Elmer, why are you flipping your ears?" And he says, "'Cause I want to." And, "Well, why do you want to?" "'Cause my want to wants to." There was no good reason for it, but because there was a desire to do it, he was doing it even though it didn't have any purpose. Sin wants to take such control of your life that it takes control of your will. It doesn't just want you involved in an activity. It wants you in bondage where you are being dragged around at the every whim that the devil has. See, he's not looking for a partner. He's looking for a slave. He's looking for a tool. He's looking for someone to destroy. What does the scripture say? The devil goes around as a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour. He is looking for a meal. He's looking for someone who eventually has their will broken. Did you know that God has a will for your life? He has a plan for your life. By the way, do not take it personal when the devil comes and brings temptation your way. It's because you were created in the image of God. Devil hates God, and every time he sees you, he sees God. And so when he's lashing out, when he's trying to control, I want you to know it's just because he sees in you the potential and the plans that God has for you, and he wants that destroyed. So the last thing I want to say, number 7, it says in verse number 20, "Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." There are some people who go around and they're looking for a reason why they've got this problem, and they're looking for a reason why they've got that problem, and it's got to be mom's fault, it's got to be dad's fault, it's got to be the genes' fault, it's got to be somebody's fault. But I want you to know that the real origin of the problem is that it's a sin problem. It's a sin problem. And that sin has taken up residence. There are some people that just returned this last week. They've been running a Bible school in Fiji. I was teaching there on Monday nights, and the school year has come to an end. And so they have come back home, and they said, "You know, we are so thankful that when we got back home that there wasn't anybody living in our house." And that was a good thing, because there are people who go around and they will sometimes take up residence in abandoned houses. The scripture says that Jesus wants to come in and sweep the house clean, but the demonic spirits that get flushed out, get evicted, they go around in arid places, and they said, "You know what? I can't find any place to live. I think I will go back to where I used to live and see if it's unoccupied. And if it is, I'm going to bring 7 of my friends that are worse off than I am, and we're going to take residence up again." And it says in the end is they're worse off than they were at the beginning. God does not want you worse off. He wants you better off. He wants you cleansed from sin, but you have to take the next step. Sin, you see, this passage says that sin wants to take up residence in your body to where you are known as the town sinner. You are known as the person who is completely and totally controlled by depravity and by sin. And yet Jesus wants to set you free. There is not a chain that Jesus cannot break. There is not a captive that he cannot set free. No blind eyes that he cannot open. Today, he wants to set you free. Now, I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because I want to leave you today with just a little bit of hope, a little bit of good news. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1, And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and in my speech and my my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Okay, that's where sin is taking you. It is taking you to a meaningless life, a fruitless life, and a lifeless eternity. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Listen to this. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It's one of my favorite passages of the scripture, because it says that the powers of hell thought that they had the ultimate victory when they crucified Jesus on the cross. And Jesus, by his resurrection, Jesus, by his sinless life, turned their greatest victory into their greatest defeat. And he says, now I'm the one that holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And I just want to birth faith in somebody today that as you're listening to this word, that your spirit will hear that God is able to take this negative, this sin-controlled life, and he can turn it around in a glorious manner. Paul referred to himself, the one who wrote Romans, the one that we've been talking about there, who talking about all of those personal struggles that he had. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners, but look what God did in his behalf. He set him free and he used him. Today, if you've got a family member that is bound by sin, I just want you to pray this prayer. It's a prayer I mean with all of my heart. And that is this: God, would you save my loved ones? Would you save my neighbors? Would you save my friends and my coworkers? Would you do such a radical work of grace in their life that they would be zealous in their service for you, passionate in their love for you, Lord, that they would live each day with a resolve and an intent that it would cause the devil to regret that he ever messed with them, that he ever tried to entrap them, that he ever led them down the road, because it was because of that desperation that they looked up, they saw the love of Jesus and the sufficiency of his grace, and they cried out, Jesus, save me. Forgive me. Be the Lord of my life. Pray that prayer. God will answer it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.